Chapter 53, The End of Autism. There are many who ignore the obvious and insist vaccines have never had anything to do with autism. The weight of history is gathering like a storm and is beginning to pass them by. The world was shocked when it began to catch a glimpse of the horrors of concentration camps in Europe at the close of World War II, but far before their liberation, locals had been trying in vain to sound the alarm. "Those aren't manufacturing plants beyond those gates," they would tell passing news reporters. "That isn't industrial waste you're smelling," they would whisper, afraid they might be killed for revealing the secret. But it did not matter. No one would listen. No one would believe them. As films from inside the concentration camps depicted grisly murders and filled movie theaters around the world, all who saw them finally believed. No one needed more proof, especially the soldiers who saw it firsthand. Even if 1,000 scientific studies had insisted otherwise, it would not change what they had seen with their own eyes. Now, there are growing numbers of parents who are no longer whispering what happened to their children. They are unafraid of what might happen to them for telling. And like the soldiers who entered the concentration camps in Europe at the end of the war, nothing will change what these parents saw with their own eyes. They are not waiting on men in white lab coats to confirm they are right. In fact, many of them have proof, not grainy black and white film of an incomprehensible atrocity, but crystal clear, high-definition videos of what happened to their child that will shatter the hearts of anyone with courage enough to watch. A stark before and after, separated in time, only by a visit to the doctor and the shots their child received. The denial worked well for a while. Once it was clear that autism had not been inherited from the parents, doctors chose an unexpected path, one that blamed mothers and their inability to love their child completely for the disorder, an almost unimaginable wrongdoing considering whose actions likely caused the illness to begin with. When that excuse eventually came crashing down, health officials began to revisit genetics for a second time, confident that technological advances would reveal a cause, any cause, for the suffering the children of autism had undergone. As this attempt is again ending in failure, and with nearly the entire human species unable to face the reality of its cause, a new theory has formed, a final, wretched, demented stand that has emerged from the short-circuited brains of cowards. Autism is not a disorder at all, but a special gift that grieving parents only need to learn to appreciate. In other words, autism did not appear in the 1930s, but has always been with us, and at the same time, doesn't really exist at all. The serpentine logic required to maintain this facade should give clear indication as to the amount of desperation being employed to avoid a horrible truth. It seemed that nothing could top the ignominy of blaming a mother's poor parenting skills on her children's diagnosis, but with this more recent pacifier, it may have been eclipsed. For the wrecked marriages, ruined lives, families cut short, and 1,000 other daggers each diagnosis might bring, this misguided attempt to suggest autism doesn't exist at all, not as a disorder at least, but instead as a gift, will not stand. Around the world, there are dozens of charities that raise hundreds of millions of dollars, all in an attempt to pay for research that might one day put an end to new cases of autism and provide healing or recovery to those already diagnosed. Whatever one thinks about the particular merits of someone they love with the disorder, it is clear these charities and the research programs they fund don't exist in hopes of increasing autism, but to lessen it. The children and their families who live with autism are some of the most courageous, admirable people on the planet. There are very few who could persevere under the struggles they face every day and come out on the other side smiling. Their lives should be celebrated, each and every ability gained or developmental milestone reached, commemorated with honor and praise. However, to suggest what they experience is a gift, an exceptional life simply unrecognized and unappreciated by their parents, that may one day be regarded as the cruelest diagnosis of all. If we had had the courage to accept the obvious reality decades ago, countless lives could have been saved. But here we are, over 75 years after the first mentions of autism were made, and it is more prevalent than ever, occurring at rates that polio never came close to matching. Something must change, and whatever it is, it will likely make many people very uncomfortable, angry, furious with rage even. But if this is what it takes, so be it. Never before in human history has our kind faced a reckoning of this magnitude, for it's not just autism we've created, but a hydra-like monster of autoimmune disorders, chronic illness, allergies, and 100 other maladies for which our best doctors have few options to treat. It has become apparent that several things may cause autism. Sustained immune activation within pregnancy has the potential, as do certain medicines taken while pregnant, such as thalidomide or misoprostol. We know these drugs can affect brainstem development, an injury apparently capable of causing autism. These are not genetic mutations, but environmental assaults on the central nervous system that are clearly documented. To suppose that vaccines, products which purposefully contain a neurotoxic ingredient and purposefully create immune activation, are incapable of causing autism in the same way as other environmental factors is laughable. When aluminum began being added to the diphtheria shot in 1932, the epidemic appearance of autism was not far behind, materializing out of nowhere in the very two countries running nationwide immunization campaigns for the vaccine. As other aluminum-containing shots began to be added, the rates of autism would increase. But that is not the whole story. Other vaccines, ones that target viruses, also appear capable of creating encephalitis, intense swelling of the brain that would normally resolve on its own. The presence of aluminum from previous vaccines may turn what would have been a relatively pedestrian infection into the chronic illness of autoimmune encephalitis, the accompanying inflammation capable of causing significant neurological harm. The gut issues certain vaccines can apparently cause, along with the problem of maternal immune activation, provide yet another channel through which the symptoms of autism may be invoked. As it turns out, there is no single autism vaccine, but many of them. Each one of them, even the ones given to the mother decades earlier, presents yet one more opportunity to create another child with autism. For any scientist who has taken an honest look at the potential causes of autism, the question regarding vaccines is not a matter of if, but of how often. With genetics a dead end, poor parenting skills a colossal mistake, and few remaining options on the table, perhaps now, with the clarity afforded by a thorough historical context, we should take heed to what the mothers and fathers have been speaking in near-perfect unison for decades. Perhaps now, while the numbers of children affected continue to rise, is the time to swallow scientific pride and accept that parents were right all along. We have spent billions of dollars just to allow ourselves the luxury of ignoring them, but they can provide the perfect eyewitness account. They stood amidst a historical event that has played out millions of times by now. They saw what happened. They said what happened. Maybe the time has finally arrived to believe them.